Obeisances to you, the amazing lion, Lord Nrisimha, who remove your saintly devotee's fear, and to the dwarf Vamana, who stepped over the three worlds. So today, of course, is the disappearance day of Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and Utpana Akadasi. This particular Akadasi, some Vaishnavas, of course, finished their Chaturmasya on this day. It is considered that the particular form of Lord Vishnu, during the 4 months of the Chaturmasya period, he takes rest. lying on the bed of Ananta. About halfway through, he rolls over on his other side. There's a particular Kadasi day where he rolls over. And I think today he wakes up. So, has a very, you know, this particular Kadasi is particularly special. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees would actually celebrate this particular Akadasi with great festivity. Because a very significant day. So it's sort of like at the end of 4 months of austerities, not moving about, what have you, then the devotees, there is a very festive mood in the devotees. So fasting on this particular day is very auspicious. The less you eat, the better. Don't try to do anything artificial, but it's certainly a day to reduce. So even though it's great festivities, we should still... the festivities are more chanting, dancing, associating with devotees. There was certainly some Kadesh Bisharim. Today is also the disappearance day of Guru Kishore Das Babaji. One time, the day before Sanatan Goswami's disappearance day, Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji said that tomorrow we will have a big festival to commemorate the disappearance day of Srila Sanatan Goswami. And one of his followers asked, what arrangements should we make for this big festival? He said, don't tell anyone, but we will forego our daily meal and we will simply chant. We will feast on the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In that mood, one enjoys the festivities of this Ekadasi and also commemorating the disappearance of Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji, who of course therefore would be a half day fast. I'm not sure if they have that on the, do they have that on the Vaishnava calendar, half day fast? They may not. Sometimes they, some of the acharyas they don't, but it's a good idea for the acharyas to fast half a day. So here in this verse, Akura is discussing the he is offering prayers to the Lord, and in offering those prayers he's revealing many of the Lord's great wonders and opulences and different features, and in this particular verse he's revealing the feature of the Lord who is very protective of his devotees, very very protective, so much so that he would appear in a specific incarnation as Lord Nrisimha, in a very ferocious, fearsome form, just to instill within the hearts of those who want to harass the devotees or disturb them that he is prepared to appear in a personal form, very very powerful, very very ferocious, to make sure that no one harasses or disturbs his devotees. So that's one of the various features of the Lord. And then it's describing here that he also appears as Lord Vamanadeva. Lord Vamanadeva, of course, appeared to he accepted the full surrender of Bali Maharaj. Lord Vamanadeva protected the demigods, and again he took back the entire universe, which had been taken away by the demons, who at that stage Bali Maharaj was in charge of them. He took that back and gave it back to the demigods. So again, you can see the protective nature. So this verse is describing a couple of different features of the Lord, indicating his very protective nature towards his devotees. Another interesting thing about the pastime, of course, of Lord Vamanadeva is that although he is an expansion from Krishna, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in another form, with all the powers and opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and yet he actually took a subordinate role to Indra in this pastime. So he actually set Indra up as the ruler of the universe, the heavenly planets, and then he actually engaged in the service of Lord Indra. So by doing this, though, Lord Vamana did not become inferior to Indra. He always, even though this is just simply his great mercy, so even though he was completely superior, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is in control of all the unlimited universes, he took an inferior position to support the service of his devotee, Lord Indra, a demigod. And similarly, bhakti yoga, is always completely transcendental and always completely superior to any other process, as it's superior to jnana, the process of karma yoga, jnana yoga, astanga yoga. Bhakti yoga is without all those different other processes, they depend on bhakti yoga in order to gain the result. In other words, if you practice karma yoga, jnana yoga, or astanga yoga, if there's not a hint of bhakti, you'll not be successful. Whereas bhakti yoga is completely independent from karma yoga, jnana yoga, and astanga yoga. In other words, you do not need to have any qualifications in any of these practices in order to take to bhakti yoga. You do not have to, and you can, in fact, as stated, that sometimes practicing karma yoga, jnana yoga, astanga yoga are actually impediments to one on the path of bhakti yoga. So although bhakti yoga and is the much superior process, and the results of bhakti yoga, which is love of God, is also more superior to anything that can be offered by karma yoga, which is just merely going to the heavenly planets. Jnana yoga can offer you some impersonal liberation in the Brahma Jyoti at best. And Astanga yoga gives you some, again, there may be some impersonal liberation, you know, some realization of Lord Vishnu. But only bhakti yoga gives prema. So bhakti yoga is completely superior, and yet sometimes bhakti yoga takes a supporting role to processes like jnana yoga. See? And therefore sometimes people think that it, you know, they think that bhakti is a inferior limb of the process of jnana yoga. See? But this is a big mistake. Although bhakti sometimes supports an inferior process, we should never consider that bhakti therefore is an inferior, you know, process, because it is taking an inferior role. In the same way, Lord Vamanadeva, he took an inferior position to Lord Indra, but that was his mercy. He is supporting him, but that does not mean that he is, Lord Indra is more superior. So, therefore, we can understand that those who take to Krishna consciousness, they do not need any other qualification other than their sincerity to attain the mercy of the Lord. They do not, devotees do not necessarily need to be well equipped in academic or qualified according to any mundane perspective. So a very good example of this particular point is actually Guru Kishore Das Babaji, because Guru Kishore Das Babaji, of course, he was illiterate. As Prabhupada said, you know, he could not sign his name, or, you know, he was completely illiterate. He did not read or write at all. But he took as his disciple Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, who was the greatest scholar of his time. So Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, who's his scholarship is unrivaled, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura, you know, even when he was, of course, that is the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, even when he was 7 years old, you know, he could quote every single sloka, 800 slokas in the Bhagavad Gita, and give a purport. You know, this is at age seven. He would read something. He had what they call a eidetic memory. I think the word eidetic, something like that. So he would read something, and that was it. It was there forever. So when he used to go to a library, he would ransack the library. He would just absorb the whole library. A great scholar.
Name.
Yes, the Simha Guru. And yet his spiritual master, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji, did not have that academic scholarship. And yet Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati accepted him as his spiritual master. But Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji was so self-realized that if, you know, when there were Vaishnavas would ask him any question about any aspect of, you know, devotional service, Krishna consciousness, spiritual life, and he would give these very, very wonderful answers with all Shastric references. He would also, you know, give the Shastric references for what he was saying. So this is possible for a number of different reasons. One is that, you know, a devotee, in order to take to Bhakti Yoga, they don't have to they don't necessarily have to be great scholars, very particularly wonderful at research, you know, reading books and everything like that. Their qualification is to hear from the guru. That is the way of spiritual life, and that is something that everyone can do. The process of spiritual life, Bhakti Yoga, the hearing principle is very important, that one should approach a spiritual master and hear from him. And if one has a spiritual master, it is understood that one should know everything. If one approaches a spiritual master and inquires from him, then he will know everything that is needed to know. And if, you know, this principle in the Nectar of Devotion, it describes it, one of the 64 items of devotional service is inquiry into eternal religious principles. So Dharma Pujja. So it's actually the duty of the disciple to inquire very, very inquisitively into every aspect of devotional service. And they do this by, you know, approaching the spiritual master and hearing, specifically hearing from the spiritual master, associating with devotees and discussing, you know, amongst devotees, one's peers also, and also, if possible, taking advantage of the books by the spiritual master and the previous acharyas. So even if one has, perhaps sometimes we see that someone may come to Krishna consciousness and their intelligence may not be very developed from the mundane perspective. So even in that circumstance, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that he sitting within their heart, he will also help them to understand. So, one can just hear perfect knowledge from the spiritual master. If possible, one can study the literatures as well. And if one has any difficulty understanding the instructions of the spiritual master or studying the literatures, then the Lord, acting within the heart, He is also revealing, removing ignorance. He sits within the heart with a shining lamp of knowledge and reveals everything to the devotee. So, in this way, Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, does not require any material qualification at all. It doesn't. One does not have to be qualified through karma yoga, jnana yoga, astanga yoga, or in any particular way at all. The only qualification is sincerity. The sincerity that I actually want the mercy of the Lord. I want, in this lifetime, Prabhupada says that in this lifetime, the sincerity is that I want to talk with Krishna. I want to see Krishna and I want to talk with Krishna. That's the desire of the devotee. Not in the mood of, the sahajas that let me, talk with Krishna, see Krishna so that I can enjoy. The devotees want that opportunity so that they can serve. Because actually that's the only desire of a devotee, is to serve Krishna. They have no other desire at all. Devotees don't even want to go back to Godhead. The devotees consider, if Krishna wants to take me back to the spiritual world, then so be it. But my only desire is, let me chant the holy names of the Lord, let me never forget Krishna, and if I have to take another birth in this world, then that is okay, I do not mind whatever Krishna wants, but my only desire is, let me take birth in the home of a devotee. Let me, in my next life, always have the association of the devotees. So, this Krishna consciousness movement actually has been set up for that particular purpose, so that the devotees, they can have constant association, they can always hear and chant about the Lord's glories, they can always have so much service to do. So this is actually the devotee's life and soul, and apart from that, they want nothing else. So that's the proper standard of what goes on in a devotee's heart. They're not aspiring after anything in the material world. They have nothing to do in the material world, no business to fulfill, nothing unfulfilled. Apart from understanding how to serve Krishna, developing that relationship with Krishna, they're not interested in becoming big scholars or philosophers. Generally, the devotees, their cultivation of knowledge is specifically related to Krishna. Apart from that, they don't want to be a scholar in any other field of knowledge, or a big philosopher of comparative religion, or anything. They simply want to know if they can cultivate some understanding of Krishna, so that helps them to love Krishna, that is it. They don't want to become mystic yogis or mystic siddhis. The devotees, their only desire, let me chant Hare Krishna in the association of other devotees. Let me dance with the devotees. Let me take prasadam and let us all discuss, topics about Krishna and his pure devotees in association. So this is the nature of the devotees. So, and also to follow in the footsteps of the acharyas. So they associate with devotees and they want to follow in the footsteps of the great acharyas. So today, of course, is the disappearance day of Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji. So one may ask, so how do we, follow in the footsteps of Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji? Because Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji was an avaduta. He was Paramahamsa Avadhuta. Most people, if they saw Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, would probably think that they were looking at someone who was insane. Someone, you know, they would not be able to relate to him at all. They would, you know, he would sometimes just for no reason just, you know, make grunting sounds or start yelling. You know, he was very, very, very austere, very renounced. His renunciation was unparalleled, even amongst Vaishnavas. He was born in East Bengal along the Padma River, and his father was a Vaishya. So in his early life, Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, his father arranged to have him married. So he was married very early, and while he was a grihastha, he was like a broker, you know, in a grain sort of merchant business. And he was married for about 20 years, and then his wife passed away. And when his wife passed away, he then immediately went to Vrindavan and took shelter of Bhagavat Das Babaji. Bhagavat Das Babaji, of course, was the favourite disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji. And he took initiation from Bhagavat Das Babaji. And he then remained in Vrindavan for 30 years. And generally he would just keep to himself and chant that, you know, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and he would chant all day, constantly, sleeping very little, eating very little, and sometimes he would chant very softly the names of the gopis. And that was his only business. He would chant alone, he would always keep to himself. And, you know, so then, after about 30 years, he was born somewhere around the 1830s, but in about 1897, he went to Navadvip, because at that stage, Srila Bhaktivinoda Kaur, you know, with the help of Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, had discovered the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Yogapith. And Jagannath Das Babaji had actually instructed Gaura Kishore Das Babaji that you go to Navadvip and you know hear from Srila Bhaktivinoda Kaur, because he is a great Vaishnava. So he went there around that time, and at about that time Srila Bhaktivinoda Kaur had actually established like a place, you know, where devotees could come together and hear Srimad Bhagavatam and other topics about Krishna, called Svananda Sukara Kunja. And Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji would actually go there, and he would hear Srila Bhaktivinoda Kaur speaking, and he was very, very happy. He would hear him with great delight. So, you know, in our disciplic succession, we generally consider the disciplic succession Jagannath Das Babaji, Srila Bhaktivinoda Kaur, Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. So from Jagannath Das Babaji, his disciple is Bhagavat Das Babaji, who Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji took initiation from. Whereas Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a Shiksha disciple of Srila Jagannath Das Babaji. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was sort of like the godbrother of Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji's guru. So in that sense, he sort of slightly precedes him in the disciplic succession. But at the same time, Srila Bhaktivinoda Kaur and Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says that they were actually intimate associates and friends. You know, Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji wasn't officially a disciple of Srila Bhaktivinoda Kaur. He would he considered him his guru, Srila Guru Kishordas Babaji considered Srila Bhaktivinoda Kaur his guru, and he would go and hear and take instruction from him. But at the same time, they were intimate friends, and later Srila Bhaktivinoda Kaur took Babaji initiation from Srila Guru Kishordas Babaji, accepting him as guru. So the relationship is on of intimate associates, but still the they're placed in that way in the disciplic succession. So when Srila Guru Kishordas Babaji arrived in Nadia, he arrived there chanting in ecstasy as usual, and he only ever had a few possessions. He had a tiger skin hat, which his whatever possessions he had were actually given to him by his guru. So he had a tiger skin hat, he had a little basket with some various things for his worship, like a tilak stamp and rope with some knots. It wasn't a lot in that basket. He would have some beads around his neck and beads in his hand, which he would chant on. He had two books. He would always carry the books of Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Sri Puttan, and Sri Prema Bhakti Chandrika. And one time someone asked Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Guru Kishordas Babaji, that what is the price of attaining love of God? And he replied, five paise. Mm-hmm. Five paise, is that how you say it? Paise? And this person was taken aback. Five paise, to attain love of God. And he said, yes, you can go to the marketplace and you can purchase these two books by Narottam Das Thakur, and those books alone you will easily attain love of God. So of course, we sing this prayer daily. To Sri Guru, Sri Guru Charana Padma every morning, and that is of course one of the prayers from that song, from that Sri Narottam Das Thakur's books. So he had a few possessions like that, and he was very, very renounced. He would collect when he would eat. He didn't always eat, but when he would eat, he would collect some dry foodstuffs from the residents of the Dharma, and then in his little bhajan kutir or under the tree or wherever he happened to be, he would then prepare some food. If he was going to cook something, he would just gather up some little sticks and twigs along the side of the road. The bowls, if he needed pots for cooking, like clay pots or anything like that, then generally when they have eclipses in India, sometimes the pots that they use on an eclipse, they will then discard. They consider them contaminated. So he would go and gather those pots and use those if he needed to cook. And for cloth, sometimes he would go to the, the burning places where they burn the bodies, name for them, and and the bodies, dead bodies were taken there. They have a cloth covering, so then they would discard that cloth. So he would use those cloths. Sometimes he would have a little cloth, and sometimes he would walk naked. He lived very simply. He was completely independent from anyone and everyone, and he absolutely refused to accept service from anyone. He actually said that in this world I am all alone serving Krishna. Everyone else is worshipable for me. Mm-hmm. So he considered that he was in this world alone serving Krishna, and everyone else he was serving. So to give examples of that, sometimes Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and himself and his son Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, they would always try to look after Srila Guru Kishordas Babaji. And later on, when his eyes started to deteriorate, around about 1908, he was completely blind in both eyes, but you know, as his sight began to deteriorate, Srila Bhaktivinoda Kaur organized that he could go to a doctor in Calcutta. And Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji said, I will not go to the illusory universe. He considered Calcutta.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he would not sort of leave the Dharma. He used to travel sometimes to different places, different Dharms, but you know, he was very, very weary of going to places like Calcutta where there was just really no spiritual influence at all. And you know, he said, as long as I can see Krishna in my heart of hearts, then I do not need an eye doctor. That was all he wanted to see, that was all he needed to see. And actually there was a pastime where when they you know, before the Yoga Pith temple was built, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was staying there, and Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji appeared there. He travelled in the middle of the night and somehow arrived there. And at this stage he was completely blind. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, you know, he thought about this. He thought, here, you know, he is completely blind. He's had to you know, get off a boat with no landing place, travel through miles and miles of paddy fields with no path, and somehow arrive here. And so he said, you know, someone helped you get here, didn't they? And you know, actually Guru Kishore Das Babaji sort of had a bit of a smile. He said, it was Krishna. Krishna helped you, didn't he? And he just sort of smiled. He said, he wouldn't deny it. He wouldn't confirm. He wouldn't deny it. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati actually understood that Krishna had actually, you know, brought him across. Anyway, he wouldn't accept service, so he wouldn't go to the doctor. Another time, you know, later, Srila Bhaktivinoda Kaur said, look, I have arranged with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he will go with you to Calcutta, and he will make all arrangements so there's no disturbance to you. And, you know, Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji then become very, very disturbed and, you know, saying, I will not accept service from Prabhu. I would rather drown in the Sarasvati. So he immediately, you know, ran towards the Sarasvati. And, of course, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, knowing he would, you know, drown himself, he was chasing him, trying to stop him. But he just sort of disappeared somewhere. And actually for 45 days they could not find him. And then after that he turned up and he came back and he said, I can never attain Krishna by killing myself, but I will not accept service from anyone. So, you know, he was completely independent. He lived simply by the mercy of Krishna, and you know, he just, for whatever bare necessities he needed, he, you know, was what generally what people discarded, he would accept. So he was very, very renowned, and he was well known amongst all the Vaishnavas as being, you know, his level of devotional service, his devotional mood was very, very exalted, and his mood of separation from Krishna was very, very deep and very, very intense. You know, if you read the prayer that we say to Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji, you know, that is the mood of that prayer, that, you know, he was always absorbed in this very, very intense, loving mood of, you know, love of God in deep separation. You know, sometimes he was feeling such separation from Krishna that he would, you know, call Krishna at the top of his voice. He'd be screaming Krishna. And sometimes devotees would have to sort of try and settle him a little, because, you know, they actually feared that he would do damage to his throat. He was screaming so loudly for so long and so intensely, feeling so much separation from Krishna. Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji was also considered to be somewhat omniscient. He was particularly well known for his ability to reveal within the hearts of impostors. There were many, many, many people at that stage who pretended to be sadhus, pretended to be devotees, and he would always expose what was actually going on in their heart. He would say, you know, this devotee is thinking of this, and he will do this. And sure enough, that's what he would do. You would see, you know, he would say, this devotee behind everyone's back, he's doing this with this one over there. He would get very angry. He is sitting in here chanting Hare Krishna, making a show, but I know that he is doing this. He would know it. And sure enough, so he was well known. So many different people used to come, and they would sit with Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, and they would try and imitate his behaviour, because Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, of course, was so renowned, so devoted, you know, so completely you know, free from any external influences and completely, you know, internally absorbed. His fame, you know, is very, very famous, very renowned amongst Vaishnavas and transcendentalists. Although he would not accept any service from anyone, all the divine powers of the Lord were constantly looking for the slightest opportunity to serve him. So he was, you know, this great mystic, powerful personality. And, you know, people would come and try and sit with him. Oh, I will sit like, you know, Babaji Maharaj, and I will chant Hare Krishna like that, and I will also be known as, you know, his... I am an intimate associate of Gaura Kishore Das Babaji. I am also a great Vaishnava. And they would try and, you know, gather some prestige like that. But generally they would, after some short time, they would, you know, wander off, you know, with some, attracted to some other thing. And, you know, quite often because of some, you know, offences in association, they also, you know, many of them actually, you know, fell down in quite, you know, significant ways. You know. Actually, when Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji was in Vrindavan, once Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati asked him that, you know, there must have been so many wonderful sadhus there. He said, all impostors. In those days especially, there's hardly any real sadhus, real devotees. And some of them, because, you know, Srila Gaura Kishore was so strict and would sometimes reveal, you know, their impostor nature, therefore they would criticize him. And actually many of them developed, you know, illnesses like leprosy of the throat. And he said that, you know, there are a lot who actually died, you know, they suffered greatly because of great offences that they were committing, like this. So, you know, so when people would come and sit with Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, he was usually indifferent to them. He neither encouraged them to you know, in a way of compromising to get along. Never ever compromised any of his principles. He just kept going with his own, you know, bhajan, and nor would he try and drive them away. He was just totally indifferent. It was, whether they were there or not, it was of no concern to him. So, you know, he was Avadhuta, Paramahamsa, Bhajanandi. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, he asked his son Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to go and take initiation from Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji. And so he approached him. Now, Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji took advantage of this opportunity to show to the world and all the cheating so-called gurus and Vaishnavas that if one is not sincere, then despite all other qualifications, he should not be accepted as a disciple by a guru. Because factually, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he was also very, very famous for his, you know, good behavior, for his wonderful understanding of Krishna consciousness, Shastra, and everyone wanted to have him as their disciple. They knew, if I get such a great personality as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati as my disciple, then I will be known as, you know, great guru. And then, you know, when I'm great guru, I will get many followers. And when I get many followers, I will get, you know, so much Lakshmi and, you know, like this. And then I will be set. I'll be set up real good. So this is the way they considered. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he approached Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji. And 3 times he was rejected. The first time he approached Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji for initiation, he said, I will ask Mahaprabhu. If Mahaprabhu says it is okay, then I will initiate. So he came back the next day. The next day he said, did you ask Mahaprabhu? I forgot to ask. So, you know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, of course, was very saddened by this, and, you know, he said, you know, there's no reason for me to live if I cannot become your disciple. You please ask. So he came back the next day and, did you get the command of Mahaprabhu? No, I did not get the command. He said that Mahaprabhu said that good behavior and scholarship is not very significant compared to, you know, sincere devotional mood. So when he was rejected like that for the third time, then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was, you know, completely heartbroken. It was like wrenching his heart that, you know, the thought that he may not, you know, take initiation from this great Vaishnava who he had great love for. And it was like his heart was wrenched out. And so, you know, he immediately he began to cry uncontrollably. And Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, when he saw this, then his heart melted. And so he agreed that, yes, I will accept you because I can see the sincerity there. And so he then took some dust from his feet and he sprinkled it on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. And he said, you go take a bath in the Sarasvati, you come back and we will initiate you. So he came back later and he initiated him and gave him the name Sri Vasa Bhanavi Devi Daita Das. Sri Vasa Bhanavi Devi Daita Das. And later he took the name Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati when he took sannyasa. So, and then, you know, Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, who would never let anyone touch his feet, he placed his feet on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati's head and he said, you know, you preach the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and leave all, you know, all over and you leave all other works aside. So this was the order. So, you know, Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, he was very, very, this is where it is hard to understand how do we follow in the footsteps of these great Vaishnavas, because if we try and imitate the Paramahamsa Avadhuta, we will, you know, cause great chaos in our spiritual life. If we don't constantly associate with Vaishnavas, we will immediately become entrapped by the material energy. The material, we will immediately become caught in the clutches of Maya as soon as we give up the association of Vaishnavas. The Paramahamsas, they are completely fixed, beyond fixed. It's just it is not possible to budge them, from their intense devotional service to the Lord. It's not possible. Whether you try to kill them or beat them, there's nothing you could do that can, stop them. For us, the drop of a hat, and it's like we can forget our service. So, we must always be in the association of Vaishnavas. So, we cannot imitate, nor can we just sit down and just chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all day, every day, all our life. We do not have that taste, so there are so many activities. So, but Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, their mood is very, very humble. And as you said, considering that he is serving Krishna and everyone else is, worshipable to him. He considered, I am the only one, not really serving Krishna. Everyone else is worshipable. They are serving Krishna. I am alone in service, but I've never actually done any service like this. So that is a mood. Feeling completely incapable to actually help people to become Krishna conscious. As we know, Prabhupada used to say that it takes gallons and gallons of blood to make one, two people devotees. Look how much work we put into it. There's so much money in Australia. Devotees work night and day. So much effort. Just bring a couple of people into Krishna consciousness. So many gallons of blood expended. Very difficult. It's not as if, devotees are pouring in the door, knocking on the door, let me become a devotee. So much effort, and still they're so attached to material life. So Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, in disgust of, the nature of the attachment of the conditioned souls and feeling just completely incapable to help them. But he is ordering Srila, Bhakti Siddhanta, you preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. In fact, Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, he once said to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, do not live in Calcutta. It is the seat of Kali. And everyone there is completely absorbed in Maya, in material consciousness. So, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, how did he take that instruction? He took that instruction that when his Guru Maharaj was saying that he was speaking with profound concern for those conditioned souls in cities like Calcutta and everywhere in the world. And so he took the instruction that I will preach in all the cities of the world and I'll make my headquarters in Calcutta. he understood. Vaishnavas are not always understood. They can be misunderstood. In fact, we see this in the final pastimes of Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji. But therefore, Srila Prabhupada, on that same point, he said to his disciples, he wrote in one letter, he wrote to his disciple, he said, we cannot imitate these people like Haridas Thakur, Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, these Bhajananandi Avaduta, devotees, Paramahamsa, topmost, we cannot. He said that, they are so exalted and so difficult to understand that generally if they don't come into society, they stay to themselves because they know that as soon as they come within the range of other people, those other people immediately cause offences, trying to imitate, making mockery of them or something. And therefore they stay to themselves knowing that as soon as they come out into society, it will act, people will, so therefore the Paramahamsas, when they want to preach Krishna consciousness, they actually then act on the platform of the Majjhima Adhikari so that their followers can follow them. Otherwise, it's not possible to follow. So, you know, even, you know, they may be avaduta, but in order to preach, they act like a, you know, Majjhima Adhikari, second class, middle class devotee, so that their followers can follow like that and aspire to, you know, that platform of Majjhima Adhikari. So, therefore, Srila Prabhupada, you know, he said that I, on the authority of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the authority of my spiritual master, I am instructing all of my disciples to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world and to always stay in association with devotees. So he specifically gave an instruction. So none of us can ever, you know, take up that path of imitating. He said, all my disciples, I mean, all his followers, disciples, grand-disciples, you know, all of them, their mission is to take up the mood of Gosyanandi, preachers. And he actually said that shastrically, this method of worshipping Krishna is more superior anyway. Not that we're superior to Gorkhasur and Das Babaji, but in general, the mood. So therefore, if you have first-class devotees who is preaching, that is, you know, recognized as a very, very special service above Bhajanandi by Krishna. So, on this day, actually the previous day, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji disappeared. He entered into the eternal pastimes of the Lord in 1915. And on that particular day, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati was in Mayapur, and Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji, he left this world at dawn, and at sunrise Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was leaving to go to Kulia, to where he was staying. And when he arrived there was actually a big argument, quite a heated argument, because again all the leaders of the temples all over Navadvip, they all wanted to take the body of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji and have the samadhi, you know, built, you know, placed in their temple, because they knew that it would be very lucrative, that it would attract many, many pilgrims, and you know, their temple would become very opulent. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, of course, arrived there, and he stopped them, knowing that, you know, you can't use the completely spiritual body of Gaurakishore Das Babaji to make a few coins for yourself, you know. So he said that, I am his only disciple and I will, place him in samadhi. So of course they all protested. You're not even a sannyasi. We're all sannyasis. We're all sannyasi, you're not a sannyasi, you're brahmachari. You have no right. He said, I may be a brahmachari, but at least I'm celibate. he said, I don't mind, if you want to come and take the body of Gaurakishore Das Babaji, anyone within the last year who hasn't had illicit sex, or maybe the last 6 months, maybe the last month, in the last 3 days, if you haven't had illicit sex, come and take the body. And if you have, then you'll be doomed. Actually, the police inspector had actually arrived because of the, you know, quite a big commotion. And, he said to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, so he said, but, you know, what proof will you have? He said, well, I'll accept their word. And then one by one, they all slowly turned their backs and walked away. So then, you know, there were some people who remained behind, and they said, the last instruction given to us by Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji was that we should tie a rope around his neck, because he said to us he has never ever served Krishna. And therefore, if we can drag him through the streets of Navadvip, then he'll become purified by the dust. This was his last wish. So they wanted to tie a rope around his neck and his hands and drag him. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura, of course, you know, he He said, we may be fools, inexperienced, and offenders, but we will not be disinclined to understand the real meaning of those humility-filled words. So, he explained that, Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji, he made these statements to, just destroy the pride of, puffed-up devotees. But, he said that, when Haridas Thakur passed away, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took that great saintly personality upon his lap and danced with great, awe and reverence of the spiritual body. And he said, we shall do the same. And so, he took the body of the blissful spiritual body of Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji, and he had it placed on this day, on the Uttana Akadasi, in a samadhi. And there was one person who donated land for that samadhi. And so it was on a recently formed sand spit in the Ganges. And then what happened was that man, after the samadhi was built, he reclaimed his rights to the, that land. Although he'd given up all rights, and then he'd known, oh, I want it back. And then he lived there, and, he wasn't really a devotee, so it was quite offensive, his activities. And then later the Ganges, after about 16 years, the Ganges came in and just that land disappeared. And took it forever. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and some of his disciples, they took that samadhi and then they placed it in, I think it's in Vrindavan, by the Radha Kund, where it is today. So that is some of the pastimes, a little drop. The pastimes of Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji. Does anyone have any comments or questions?